Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Wednesday edition of the program, live and underway here on the Big X, and we're glad to have you with us. Don't forget, if you ever can't join us for the live radio program, the show is also available each afternoon as a podcast on Apple Podcast, also SoundCloud, many places that you may listen to podcasts. All you got to do is search for the Hoosier Report. But glad you're with us today. Last night, we had high school play-by-play on the Big X. I was out at Johnson Arena at Jeffersonville as the Red Devils got a really good win. We'll talk about it here in our headlines segment coming up in just a few moments. But Jeff gets a good win, and now that sets things up officially for Friday's game between New Albany and Jeffersonville. And there have been lots of questions about tickets for that game. We're going to cover that here in just a few moments as well. It will be a fairly limited crowd on Friday for a big rivalry game between New Albany and Jeffersonville to be played in Jeff. So more on that coming up as well. And, of course, IU football, the season over. Lots of off-season stuff to get to, and we started that process yesterday with Matt Weaver of Pigs.com going through what to watch for in the off-season. But a number of IU football players have taken to social media so far to say they're coming back for that extra year, even those that were seniors this year because of the COVID year. Everybody gets the opportunity to come back according to the NCAA if they want. And Indiana is, like most schools, has said, hey, we'll take anyone back in any sport that wants to return for another year on scholarship as an athlete here. And so we're seeing a lot of players, a lot of football guys do that, which I think is a good thing for Indiana. There are a couple still out there. We await their decisions or their announcements on if they'll move on or graduate or will come back for this final year of eligibility. But I really feel like whether it's basketball, football, any other sport, part of the off-season excitement this year with football and hoops too, you're going to see a lot of movement. You're going to see players come back that maybe you thought would not come back. You're going to see players transfer. You're going to see this whole COVID thing is going to affect college sports, not just from a financial perspective and not just this season because of scheduling issues and just crazy situations. It's going to affect it, I think, for years to come with transfers and other things that this will get extra eligibility and other things that this will cause. But we'll cover that and more today. Glad you're with us. Let's take a quick look at the show lineup today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one here in just a few moments. We'll have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll take a look at the Big Ten schedule, get ready for Indiana-Wisconsin tomorrow night. There have been a couple Big Ten games postponed because of some COVID-19 issues, and we'll cover that as well here in this opening segment. Also, we'll take a look at last night's Jeffersonville win over Evansville North. Will Lovings-Watts, another big performance for the Red Devils last night. And also, look across the river, JCPS last night, public schools in Louisville, did not vote to allow games to start February 1st. Now, the rest of the state of Kentucky, from a basketball and winter sports perspective, began games on Monday of this week. But JCPS, the state's largest school district, obviously a lot of talented players in the city of Louisville at these public schools, and their seasons are put on hold again. And so we'll mention that here in the opening segment also. That's the show lineup for segment one. Segment two, we're going to have Greg Doyle, a replay from yesterday. We'll talk IU basketball, IU football. We spent a lot of time talking from yesterday's program about the NCAA tournaments coming to the state of Indiana. Division I headed to Greater Indianapolis. Division II is going to the Fort Wayne area. Division III down to Evansville. Going to be awesome for our state. Not a good situation, obviously, overall. You want the NCAA tournaments to be played normal, to be spread out. They help a lot of different communities, a lot of different tourism dollars going around there. And it creates a lot of excitement when you put everybody across the country and go from time zone to time zone and region to region. But if it has to be this way, if things are going to be screwed up as they are in this pandemic, and it's still going to be a pandemic when we get to March Madness, and I'm still got my fingers crossed we get to March Madness, but if it's got to be this way, why not Indiana? A proven state when it comes to its basketball, its ability to host sporting events. I think it has a tremendous setup. We talked some about this yesterday in downtown Indianapolis with the hotels and the skywalks and the restaurants and tons of availabilities to put teams and create space and still have meeting rooms and eating areas for teams. I think it makes a lot of sense. And, of course, we know, and I say this with some arrogance, we know that our gymnasiums and arenas are special. A lot of communities, a lot of cities have a Banker's Life or something like that. But Lucas Oil, obviously, is a step above the rest. But even when you get down and needing so many different courts to play games, I mean, you're not going to find better, well-kept facilities like what we have with Indiana and Purdue and other facilities in Indianapolis, whether it's a city-owned or state-owned facility. Lots of opportunities there, which I'm sure aided this thing in being possible for Indiana here this year. But it's going to be fun as we go through the college hoop season. Just another fun storyline to pay attention to. I'm really interested, obviously, in the behind-the-scenes workings to all of it and logistically how it works and things like that. In fact, coming up on our program tomorrow, we'll talk with someone from the Indiana Sports Corporation, which is kind of heading this project up, you could say, for Indiana, and get some behind-the-scenes information from them. I think you'll enjoy that. So, but again, that's on our Thursday program. Later in the show, Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. He's with me today, as always, as we talk local sports. We'll talk high school basketball, of course, in our segment with Josh each week is presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. And that's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Wednesday program, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news with Zaxby's, with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany, and a look at what's going on in the Big Ten. Obviously, Indiana has their next game Thursday night as they travel to Wisconsin, 7 o'clock tip-off. It will be on FS1. There's some other pretty interesting games, Illinois, Northwestern specifically, after the Indiana game on Thursday. But I didn't say this yesterday. There have been some postponements lately. Now, the Big Ten is prepared for that. Each team has two different windows for postponements to be made up, which gives them a little off time during this crazy conference season. But Wisconsin-Penn State on Sunday, that game was postponed. And of course, Penn State was just in Bloomington earlier in the week. And really the reason it looks like, according to some reports that are out there, Greg Gard, the Wisconsin coach, just was not comfortable with what he was being told about Penn State, and neither were the doctors and medical professionals at Wisconsin. So I know there were some COVID issues with players. I think it was two, but I really haven't seen a lot on it from a Penn State perspective. And also, in one of the stories about the Wisconsin-Penn State game being postponed, Coach Gard at Wisconsin mentioned that he also knew that there had been a break recently where players got to leave campus or got to be with family, at least the way it sounded in what he said. And so if that's the case, I'm sure Indiana fans get nervous because you think, okay, this team maybe left campus, didn't stay in their little bubble with the teammates and coaches over the holidays, had a little time away, and now they were in Bloomington before this COVID issue popped up. So, again, who knows? But it does make you wonder. The other game that was postponed, Nebraska and Purdue, that game was scheduled to be played last night, but because basically both teams in agreement because of health concerns that game would be postponed and rescheduled to a later date one of those two windows that the Big Ten has for some of these makeup games. So really don't know much about Nebraska-Purdue, if it's issues with both teams, issues with Nebraska. Of course, Indiana has a date coming up at Nebraska and then after the Thursday night Wisconsin game. So so far, things have been really good in the Big Ten Conference as far as getting games off the ground and played that are supposed to be played when they're supposed to be played. Now, those two postponements over the last few days, one Sunday and the Purdue game yesterday, the first two so far this season. So knock on wood that the scheduling success continues, but anytime you do see an issue with a Penn State or with a Purdue or Nebraska, the first thing I do is look at the schedule and see where were they before and where have they been since. And that gives you an idea, could there be other problems, and could ultimately, you wonder, as we cover Indiana, you're a fan likely of IU, could this affect the Indiana program this year? I don't think there's any question that there will be some postponements that will affect Indiana at some point this year. To get through a full schedule, non-conference and conference, and not have issues, I think would be very, very lucky given how rampant this thing really is right now. But also, from the Big Ten perspective, with their testing, with what they are putting forth financially and organizationally to battle this thing, if you're judging the first few weeks of all conference play, I think things have been pretty good so far for the Big Ten. So we'll see how things continue, and ultimately if the issue with Penn State, who was in Bloomington last week, affects Indiana or not. But definitely stuff to keep an eye on. And, of course, Big Ten Conference play tonight on this Wednesday. The Penn State-Ohio State game postponed. So that would be the third postponement this week. Again, Penn State, those issues surrounding Penn State causing that game to be postponed. But you do have Minnesota and Michigan that should be a fairly good game tonight. Michigan's been playing really good ball. Minnesota's had some good moments, but didn't look great earlier in the week, but a good team so far, and somebody I think that's going to be a force to be reckoned with in the Big Ten. One other Big Ten note from a basketball perspective, just want to note this, Michigan State won at home last night, 68-45 over Rutgers, and so Michigan State not off to the greatest start in Big Ten Conference play. I know some people were wondering what's going on in East Lansing, but they beat a really good Rutgers team handily last night at home, and so this just reminds you, Michigan State, even though they've had a tough start, they're not going to be at the top of the Big Ten standings anytime soon because of the start they had, but they're just another solid team that's capable of beating anybody, as you would expect a Tom Izzo coach team to be on any given night. Jeffersonville in action last night as we flip to some high school stuff here for a moment in our headlines segment. And how about this? For the first time ever, I was reading the News and Tribune story from the game last night, and of course, we broadcasted the game last night from Johnson Arena, but for the first time ever, and I'm sure there's a lot of these across the state, this was the first home game in January ever for the Jeffersonville team, meaning that their first home game of the year played in January. They didn't have anything in late November or early December, mid-December, late December over the holidays is what they typically would because so much of their schedule's been affected by COVID so far. But Jeff with a big win last night. I was curious to see how the Red Devils responded after a loss last week at Evansville Ballsy. Jeff's got lots of talent. That kind of seems to be like the catchphrase, lots of talent. They've got three really good players. Can they put it all together? Can they be a really good team? And I think the answer is yes, but they were 1-2 headed into the game last night. They played Silver Creek to start the year. That's a tough game. Evansville Ballsy, also really good. They played Indianapolis Washington, who wasn't very good, and defeated them handily in the middle of Silver Creek and Evansville Ballsy. So last night was interesting because Evansville North, they've not been setting the world on fire with who they've beat. They came into the game last night, 6 wins, 1 loss, but they've won some games. They're a formidable opponent. They've got some small college prospects on their team as well, well coached by Jason Roach, a good friend. So I was curious to see how Jeffersonville used that game to get ready for New Albany on Friday. And the Red Devils, after being tied 30 apiece at halftime, went on to win 73-57 in the contest and really seemed to get it going in the second half of play. Very balanced scoring for Jeff, led by Will Lovings-Watts. He had 26 points last night, had some dunks, had some step backs, had some three-pointers, showed he could slash to the basket. I've said this a couple times in bragging on him. He handles the ball, went coast-to-coast a few times last night. He really wants to play that guard position but consistently at the Division I level. And so a lot more ball handling from Will Loving's watch this year. But he was really good for Jeffersonville last night. Brandon Razor Moore, the transfer from Louisville, 18 points. Kobe Studemeyer, who handles the ball for Jeff and is solid at the point guard slot, he had 16 points as well. So those three scoring in double figures, Will with 26, they're going to be a force for anyone to handle when those three play and shoot and drive the way they did last night. Jeff evens their record to 2-2 in advance of the New Albany game on Friday, and that's going to be an interesting game. I think Jeff's got to be pegged as the favorite because of the talent they have, because of the slow start. We just don't have the ability to judge them as we do New Albany. But for New Albany, Bivin and Stanton and some of these guys, they got to play. They got to be together. They also have to step up to match this Jeffersonville three-headed monster of Loving's Watts, Studemeyer, and Razor Moore if this game's going to be a close one, as this rivalry game between the two schools normally is. So we'll see how that plays out Friday. Lots more on that game coming up this week, by the way. Just a little promo. We'll have Coach Grants and Coach Shannon with us later in the week, actually on game day, to preview the big rivalry and a little historical look coming up tomorrow about this New Albany-Jeff series, which is one of the best, not just locally, but in the state as well. Across the river, high school basketball is still paused. Last night, the Jefferson County Public Schools Board of Education voted to let winter teams have some limited practice beginning now. But the February 1 date that a lot of coaches I had talked to over there hoped to see allowable for games to be played, to start being played, no vote taken on that just yet. The board is going to meet again on January 19th, and that's when they'll make further decisions about basketball and other winter sports. So interesting to watch. You hear rumors about Louisville players coming to Southern Indiana. Obviously, Brandon Razor Moore was at J-Town last year. He's been a big lift for Jeffersonville. I have no knowledge to know if the COVID-19 concerns over there as far as not being able to play sports have anything to do with why he came across the river to Jeffersonville. But nonetheless, you wonder how this plays out if ultimately Jefferson County doesn't get to play high school basketball. I've heard stories up in the region, way up in northwestern Indiana, where with Chicago and Illinois just completely shut down for basketball, there have just been so many players coming across to play, and that a lot of the transfers have been getting denied because it's displacement for current student-athletes at the school when in the middle of the season, because of a hardship, you grant immediate eligibility. It kind of puts maybe some current guys that had practiced and worked in the offseason to earn a spot, earn some playing time at a disadvantage. And so we'll see if any of that stuff happens down here. Not much rumblings about it at this point, but you do hear some things, and you wonder if more will come over if this February 1 date to begin games in Louisville ultimately does not begin. One Big Ten football note here in the opening segment. Yesterday, Devontae Smith of Alabama, the first wide receiver to win the Heisman Trophy since 1991. I saw that the last wide receiver to win the Heisman Trophy was a Big Ten standout. Michigan legend Desmond Howard was the winner. Forget what year he was. I guess 1991 was the year that he won the Heisman Trophy as the last wide receiver before Smith from Alabama. But I don't talk a lot of college football outside of IU and some Big Ten stuff on this program. But I tell you what, Smith for Alabama and that whole Alabama team, just really unbelievable. Also, there were some reports yesterday, and they were kind of, shuttered fairly quickly, that Ohio State is having some COVID-19 issues again, and rumors that the national championship football game may have to be postponed or moved back to January 18th, which when all this first started was slotted as the makeup date if there had to be a makeup date for the national championship game. It sounds like as of now, things are still on for the January 11th for Monday to play that championship game, but obviously you don't know who's going to be out for Ohio State. There were concerns they might be out of a whole group, a whole position group, because of COVID-19 issues and, of course, quarantines and things that come along when someone in that group has a COVID-19. So we'll keep an eye on that. But I know Indiana fans have some issues with Ohio State. It's part of the the dominance they've had in the conference. And, of course, this year Indiana, you could say, maybe got pushed around a little bit because of Ohio State to situate them for the Big Ten championship game. But as somebody that covers Indiana, covers the Big Ten, you like to see the conference do well. And so you'd like to see them go into the game as full strength as possible. But, you know, you can't keep moving the thing around. You got to pick a date and go with it. And if Alabama's missing players, they're missing players. If Ohio State is missing players, they're missing players. It's just kind of part of the deal this year, trying to play sports through a pandemic. But on some of the big games and bowl games and big college games so far, that really hasn't been that big of an issue, at least so far this season. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. Our headlines brought to you each day by Zaxby's, with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle. This segment is from yesterday. We talked some IU basketball, their win earlier in the week. We talk IU football, some disappointment from the bowl game, and all the patch and the helmet the sticker removal and all those sorts of things, in addition to the bowl game loss. And we spend some time from yesterday's program talking about the NCAA tournaments coming to Indiana and what exactly that means for our state. Keep in mind, tomorrow we've got a guest coming on after Alex Bozich from the Indiana Sports Corporation to talk about this big opportunity for the Hoosier State to get to host these tournaments. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back on this Wednesday program. We have Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. This is a replay from our Tuesday program, IU basketball, IU football, and the NCAA tournament, all of it coming to greater Indianapolis. Some of the things that we discussed, and here's our chat with Greg from Tuesday's show. First off, Greg, we missed you over the, right around Christmas and New Year's, so you were on vacation. Merry Christmas, late Merry Christmas. Happy 2021 to you as well. And plenty to get to today as we head into a new year and hopefully a better year for sports and for society.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Well, I think we're all happy to get through 2020. I think 2021's got to be better, and it will be better. But I hope people understand and are prepared, and you are if you pay attention to the news. Some people pay attention to the news and just decide it's all false, and you know, God help you. But if you pay attention to the news, it's going to get rough for the next 2 months. It's going to be rough for the virus, but we're going to get better. Things are going to get better. 2021 will be better than 2020. The bar is low, but we're going to clear that bar. But I don't know by how much. Just got to say.
Yeah. Let's hope that we get to March Madness, which we found out officially yesterday at all levels, D1, D2, D3, is going to be held in the Hoosier State. And to see that Mackey Arena and Assembly Hall are going to join four other facilities in hosting this this once-in-a-lifetime, we hope, situation for March Madness is really just unbelievable to see it all roll out.
Yeah, and it's I wrote about it yesterday, and I kind of wrote this, but didn't write it maybe as much as I'm thinking it right now. How daunting, how almost impossible this is going to be. But if there's a city in America that can pull this off, having 68 teams, 67 games, you know, eight different pod sites, four regionals, Final Four, not all in the same city because Bloomington and West Lafayette are going to get their share of games, but most of it centered in one city, all of it anchored in one city. I mean, it sounds almost impossible. And mm-hmm. I'm sure other towns, other cities, the NCAA said they were going to talk to the other cities. They talked to Indy first, but they were going to check around. And I suspect Orlando was one because the NBA bubble. I suspect there was a few that, you know, just for civic reasons, reached out and said, hey, consider us. We'd like a piece of that money, you know. But any city that thinks they could pull this off, you're kidding yourself. The only city that has a chance is ours. And not just because we're a basketball state. In fact, that's not really even it at all. This city, we have done about 15 pods and regionals. We've done six or eight Final Fours, just on the men's side, the women's side too. We've done an NBA All-Star game. We've had a Super Bowl. We do events every year. And, you know, you can't do anything that prepares for what we're about to do. I mean, there is no, as I wrote in my story, there's no spring training for something like this. You can't go somewhere and get the fundamentals down on how to handle what we're about to handle. But nobody, no city with the civic leaders, the Indiana Sports Club, the NCAA in town, no one's prepared for this as much as you can prepare as we have. So thank God it's coming here, because if they tried to do this in Charlotte, and I've lived there, but if they tried to do this somewhere, you know, in Phoenix, it'd be a disaster. I think we have a chance to pull it off.
Yeah, and again, when you think about it, you think, okay, Indianapolis, you know, all these hotels are connected, and logistically it's set up, hosts huge events and conferences, and has this Indiana Sports Corp. I talked some about them earlier in the show today. So you think, oh, you know, okay, this Indiana, we're a basketball state, this thing's going to work, it makes a lot of sense. But then when you think about the whole thing, not just D1 but other levels, and you think about all the different sites and pods and regionals that are going to be in one location, basically one state, one greater metropolitan area, it just takes on a whole new meaning.
Yeah, and this is why states and cities and politicians and whatever bid for things. It's why they build convention centers, and you wonder, you know, for tax money, do we need that? And it's why they built the Hoosier Dome in 1982 without an NFL team. They built it. Probably they must have had a heads up that the Colts were thinking about coming here, but they built it without a team. You know, in Tampa, they built Tropicana Field. I was living down there when this happened. They built Tropicana Field with no team, and it sat empty for about 8 years. And then finally Devil Rays came, and there you go. So, but it's why Indiana and the city and the state, you know, the payoff anyway, why did NCAA come here? Why did we chase them in 1999, brought them from Overland Park, Kansas, to Indianapolis? You know, why bother? What does it matter? Well, it's mattered a whole lot between now and then, but, boy, is it paying off right now. Because if NCAA was still held in Kansas, I suspect this event would be going to KC, you know, but our state and our city has agreements with those people. And anyway, everybody needs help getting through the pandemic. Everybody does. But we're about to get ours. You know, we're about to get ours in a way most places, other places aren't. This is going to jumpstart Indiana as a state in a way that 49 other states aren't getting. And too bad for them, but good for us.
I tell you, this whole thing, from this point forward, from today, from yesterday's announcement forward, is going to be so interesting to follow and watch behind the scenes. And I know that you'll keep a keen eye on it just to have all this documented on how this happens and how this comes together. And I have no doubt that there'll be some challenges, but our state, our people, Indiana Sports Corp and others, prepared for the challenge, we think, and we sure hope. Greg, I want to flip to IU football now. We didn't do a show yesterday, so this is our first opportunity to kind of recap the IU football season, and Matt Weaver joining us in the next segment to help do that as well. But you wrote that this disappointing finish is kind of a stain on what otherwise was a really good season for the Hoosiers.
I did, and I want to get to that. But I also want to say that, you know, we're going to look back at this year, the basketball year, and IU fans and Purdue fans too, Butler too, but you know, IU fans are going to look back, and, you know, years from now, they're going to say, can you believe, you know, we had an NCAA regional at Assembly Hall, and because it's going to be there. I'm sure one regional at Assembly, one at Mackey, one at Hinkle, and one at, you know, Baker's Life, be my guess. So this year is going to be a dream for people to go back and look back on, whether you're in the building or not. And I suspect no one's going to be in the building, but still, it was in our facility, so that's going to be pretty cool. Yeah, IU football, losing to Ole Miss by itself is not a stain. I mean, it's not good. It's not, you don't brag about losing to a 4-5 Ole Miss team in the Outback Bowl, but it's not a stain. Just like losing to Tennessee last year in the Gator Bowl wasn't a stain. And you see how much that set back the Hoosiers. Boy, it set them back all the way. They went 6-1, and ranked in the top 10, and got screwed out of the Big Ten title game. So that Gator Bowl loss didn't mean anything going forward. And losing to Ole Miss won't mean anything going forward. They're still going to have a great season next year. The stain is that IU thought they were Ohio State there for a moment and covered up the Big Ten logo. And, you know, got all big and bold and chesty. And in real time, I loved it. I thought, that's awesome. Way to go. The Big Ten screwed you guys. Covered up. Put Leo there. I was on board. But you got to win the game, especially if you're playing a 4-5 Ole Miss team. What you cannot do is tell everybody, and I've written this about the Colts too. They've had games where various players early in the game have done look at me things. You know, they've celebrated theatrically. They've, you know, they've done, hey, look at me, when things are going well. The game ends, they've lost by 20, and I've written, well, we looked. Is that what you wanted? And that's what happened to IU just now. They said, hey, everybody, look at us. We're going to cover up the Big Ten logo. Okay, well, we're looking, and we saw you lose to a Lane Kiffin, that idiot, and a 4-5 Ole Miss team. Yeah, we looked, and here's the thing. Ole Miss, I'm sorry, IU got caught in the moment. Like, and this happens, you know, with boxers when they fight, UFC guys. Before fights, they all talk big. It's kind of embarrassing because you're all talking big and none of you know. You all think you know, but none of you know you're going to win. Floyd Mayweather, when he talks big, he knows. When Alabama football, if they ever talk big, they know, right? There's one thing to think you know and you're feeling it. IU thought they knew, and they were feeling themselves. You're still IU. You're not Ohio State. You're not. You don't know you know. And if you don't know you know, keep your mouth shut. So they opened their, you know, anyway, point is, they embarrassed themselves by saying, hey, everybody, look at us. We're too good for this, but we lost all. And I can tell you right now that there are people in the IU campus, and I mean this. You know, I don't come on your show and lie to you ever. I got a phone call yesterday, from someone at IU, someone whose name every one of you knows. Every one of you knows the name. Called me out of the blue to thank me for writing what I wrote. Which blows me away. As I told the guy, I said, listen, you know, I get calls all the time thanking me for nice stories. But when I get a call from a school thanking me for a story that wasn't nice, and you're still telling me I got it right, that means more than 50 calls about nice stories. There are people you know are embarrassed. Not that they lost Ole Miss, but that they covered up the logo and didn't follow through. So that was embarrassing. And anyway, I'll stop talking about it. But that was you just can't do that. You can't do that.
I've got to say, and Zach Osterman was kind of the guy that I was following for this. When he started tweeting out photos of, you know, what the uniforms were going to look like and that this was going to be on the logo on the helmet and then the bowl logo was going to be on the chest instead of the Big Ten logo, and here's what the uniforms from last year's that same bowl looked like. The first thought I had, of course, I wasn't even thinking about the game or what was going to happen there, but I thought, this covering it up stuff, whether it's intentional or not, does not sound like any other thing that Tom Allen has ever done or led or been a part of with IU football. And I think he eventually later that night, maybe even because of Zach reaching out, put out a short statement about it. But that was my first thought. Boy, this doesn't match up with every other thing Tom Allen has said or done or led in his time as IU's football coach.
No, it's true. He's a godly man full of faith, and he knows that he's not the story, that his life is not the story. You know, he believes what he believes, and he lives that way. But this was a moment where he and the team, I mean, Tom Allen didn't do it by himself, but I can tell you that what happened to IU's uniform in total, because they covered up every logo, that was not expected by people outside. That wasn't expected, that's all I'm going to say, is that they went farther than anybody thought they were going to go. Allen's, you know, he's an emotional guy. He's an emotional guy, and he got caught up in the emotion of we got screwed, because they did get screwed. There's no question. The Big Ten screwed him. Mm-hmm. I'm not defending the Big Ten. But, yeah, this is not who he is. But he was feeling himself, and they were feeling themselves, and they paid for it a little bit.
Yeah, no question. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, he's with us Tuesdays. Got to get to some IU basketball before we go. Big win last night. Great second half for the team, despite not great shooting numbers. But Trace Jackson-Davis was just dominant down the stretch, 17 of his 22 points in the second half. And then Rob Phinisee and Al Durham, they've been quiet at times. They've disappeared at times, but they both once again stepped up in the close of the game last night, I thought to help lead the team to an important victory.
Yeah, they. I mean, you look at the numbers, and they were ugly. Trace Jackson-Davis had a great game. So did Race Thompson. And then pretty much everybody else didn't. Now, you hit a shot late in the game, and people remember that, and as well they should. It matters. But the IU offense, know, they were, I think, 4 of 22 from three. And basically, outside of Race and Trace, everybody else on the team shot about 20%, you know, like 8 for 33 or something terrible. IU still has offensively challenged. You know, they've got a couple nice pieces, and then just no one's gotten any better. No one can shoot. And Armand Franklin might be out for a little while. I was reading Osherman's story, and he talked to Archie after the game, and Archie made it sound like he's not sure Armand will even travel, you know, will even dress, even be part of the team, so to speak, for the next two games. So it sounds like he's got a bad ankle sprain, not just one that knocked him out of a game, but will keep him out for a week or two or more. So that's a shame, because Armand Franklin's having a great game, and Lord knows IU needs him badly. I'm kind of, in a way, relieved that I wasn't on your show last week, because that was following, I forget who they played, but they lost to somebody badly,
Illinois,
and shot was Illinois and shot poorly, and I basically wrote an entire story about IU has a garbage offense. You know, they've got a couple nice players. Trace Jackson Davis can go get a shot whenever he wants, but for the most part, they just pass the ball with no real purpose until someone chucks up a bad shot. That's just what and it's not just Archie. We've seen it. Tom Crean's teams terrible on offense. Mike Davis, I imagine, were terrible on offense. I don't know, but I'm sure they were. IU's offense just hadn't been any good, except for Calvin Sampson. So I know IU fans are tired of seeing it. And, yeah, they won last night, and that's awesome. But they got to get some offense going. Maryland's a bad team. You know, sometimes you have a game where you say, well, someone has to lose. It doesn't mean they're bad. Someone had to, like, the Colts could play Buffalo. Someone's going to lose. Someone has to lose. But that's two good teams. Well, last night, somebody had to win. And somebody won, but you got to look at how it's happening, and you got to think, man, this team's got to get better.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, he's with us Tuesdays. Greg, again, great to catch up. Happy New Year, and looking forward to having you with us as we go through March Madness in Indiana. Going to be different, special, and let's hope it all goes well.
Yeah, and I've got a story up. I would like people to, if they care about old time basketball. Paul Westfall died over
yes.
the weekend, And I knew Paul a little bit, but you just have to know Paul a little bit to know how wonderful he was. And I'm not talking about as a player. He's that rare guy that dies, and it's kind of an, oh, by the way, he was a basketball Hall of Famer, because that's not the big story. Paul Westfall's life was his real story. And anyway, I got a story up. I've tweeted out several times. If anybody wants to read that, it's not behind our paywall, so you can go see it. But, Matt, thank you for having me on, as always.
And again, Greg Doyle, that interview was from our Tuesday program. We'll head to a commercial break, come back with our final segment today. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, joins. We'll talk some high school basketball. The Red Devils get a win last night. Providence defeated last night by a potential sectional foe in the future, Southwestern of Hanover. We'll talk that. And, of course, not too early to start looking at the New Albany-Jeff game on Friday, the big rivalry coming up on Friday night at Johnson Arena. We'll be back with Josh Cook. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment of this Wednesday program. Josh Cook, he's the sports editor of the News and Tribune, is always our guest in this segment. It's brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your needs, including T-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items. Let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. Visit mlshirtco.com to find out more. And Josh, I am just hearing, now, this is a rumor, I don't have this confirmed, that Clark County is set to go to a red county on the Indiana COVID-19 map. And so if that does happen, I think at noon or this afternoon, that announcement would be made if it is official. That will be interesting to see how that further affects sports at the high school level and attendance from fans and parents for Clark County games.
Yeah, I saw another county just went to it. just a little while ago as well. So, yeah, it could definitely make for some smaller crowds, especially, you know, unfortunately, could be the Jeff New Albany game coming up this Friday night. Could just be household family members. We'll see. But, yeah, that's definitely a possibility, unfortunately.
And I had said earlier we would mention or talk about tickets for the New Albany at Jeff game on Friday. According to Matt Barker, the new athletic director at Jeffersonville, as of last night, the plan was 4 tickets per student athlete. So that would be a very small crowd if you take the number of JV and varsity players on both New Albany and Jeffersonville and take it times 4. They would have immediate family only that could come to the game. But he did note that if Clark County went red, which I think people felt like was a possibility, that attendance could be either even further limited from just the 4 tickets. So will it be 2? Will it go down from 4? Who knows? But things will definitely, I would say, tighten up as far as attendance in Clark County this coming week. And hopefully they don't stay on red moving forward. But, Josh, we had some Tuesday night hoops last night. We had Evansville North at Jeff on our airwaves last night. The Red Devils get a win over a solid Evansville North team in Providence. They took on Southwestern, who could be a potential sectional opponent for the Pioneers, and Providence came up a little short in that matchup. But we've got some games to talk about from last night.
Yeah, definitely. There's a bunch of games last night, a few boys games and a lot of girls games as well. But yeah, Evansville North and Jeffersonville, as you mentioned, Will Lovings Watts and Brandon Razor Moore had big games again for Jeff in its victory. Evansville North, you know, I didn't quite realize how good of a start they had gotten off to, but won 6 of their first 7, and including that Forest Park tournament last week. So, you know, that's a good win for Jeff. Obviously, good to kind of get a warm-up game in before New Albany. And, New Albany not having played since Seymour last week. So, you know, we'll see if that maybe helps Jeff a little bit, just getting the game under its belt here before the big one on Friday night, which unfortunately won't be, you know, packed to the rafters, as you've talked about. But, yeah, Providence and Southwestern is another big game. Sectional rematch. Southwestern came out on top, but it sounded like Providence only led once. But, obviously a competitive game. And, you know, I fully expect those two teams to be there, battle it out for the sectional title with Dual Clarksville in the mix, too. I think it'll be a very competitive sectional there. Another bunch of girls games too. I'm sorry, didn't mean to cut you off, but Silver Creek girls won, came back and won against Gordon, and they got the big game Saturday at Salem, which is pretty much the Mid-Southern Conference championship game.
And I'm glad you brought up girls. I was headed there. Silver Creek wins over 4A number 1 Crown Point over the weekend, a big game for them to start the new year. Then had to come from behind last night to beat Corden, and you mentioned the game with Salem coming up, who has a fantastic ball club again this season. So Silver Creek girls, they are for real, and when you talk about teams, as we start to really think that way, now that we're in the new year, we're literally under 2 months, 6 weeks or so away from the start of the girls tournament, and of course just about 2 months away this week from the boys sectional tournaments, you start to think about teams in this area that could make some noise on a statewide level, and the Silver Creek girls, I think, have to be very solidly on that list of teams locally that could do big things.
Oh yeah, for sure, definitely. Just like as you mentioned, a huge win over Crown Point last weekend, and then coming out, I'm not sure, we'll see if they'll lose another game. I'm not sure they will, but yeah, only, you know, after this week, only 3 weeks left in regular season for the girls, which is pretty hard to believe, pretty crazy, but you know knock on wood, we've made it this far, and we'll continue to keep moving forward. So it's been it's hard to believe that the season's almost over for the girls, to be honest with you.
Yeah, the tournament on the girls side especially will be here before you know it, coming up really in, fairly early in February when things get underway. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, my guest. Let's flip back to boys basketball here for just a moment as we close out today. New Albany at Jeff on Friday. You've had a chance to see both teams. I know Jeff has only played four games. New Albany so far has not had any cancellations or postponements. But your early thoughts as we sit a few days out from that rivalry game and you know what you know about both teams, what do you expect on Friday night?
Shoot, I expect a close competitive game, a defensive battle. It should be exciting, I think. I don't think it'll be a blowout. It should be a close game. It's anybody's ball game in my mind. It went to overtime last year and Jeff won. I wouldn't be surprised if it went to overtime again this year. Who knows? But Jeff's won a couple in a row in the series. So we'll see if the Red Devils can keep that going. Playing at home should help, obviously. But hopefully it's a really competitive game. Hopefully it's a really good game that goes right down to the wire. I think it very well could be. Both teams are really good. Both teams are capable of winning the sectional and maybe more. We'll see what happens on Friday night. I think it will be a great game.
Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. They can help if you're looking to raise money for your team or event. Let Major League Shirt Company's online fan stores work for you. You can outfit fans and raise money with very little effort. Major League even does the sorting. All you've got to do is cash the check. Find out more at mlshirtco.com. Josh, as always, thanks for stopping by to talk some high school hoops with us as we get into January. Before you know it, it'll be time for postseason basketball here in the area. Appreciate your chat and your coverage of sports here in the area as well.
Yeah, sounds good. Look forward to it. And, everybody stay safe out there. Wear your masks.
Absolutely. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. You can read game stories on both the Providence and Jeff games from last night at newsandtribune.com/sports, and of course in the print edition of today's paper as well. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday program. We'll be back with you Thursday at 11 a.m. And don't forget to check out the podcast. If you can't join us live here on the Big X, you can search Apple Podcasts for the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. And if you would, leave us a rating and a review there. That'll help us connect with others that might be interested in a radio show and podcast about IU and sports in Southern Indiana. Have a great Wednesday. We'll be keeping an eye on Clark County. It looks like it's going red here this afternoon. We've got an update coming at 2:30 from Governor Eric Holcomb that we will air here on the Big X as well. Until tomorrow, this is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.